Well, hey guys, welcome to my weekly Q&A session. Coming to you today from Lyon, France. I've been in France for about a week and I'm probably traveling back to the US today. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to jump into five questions. People send me questions all the time and I try to collect them and group them and then answer the ones that sort of are connected. There's some connective tissue between them. So, got lots of people watching me make a video here. It's fun. Today I want to answer about five questions on why do people backslide? Why do people walk away from God? How can we prevent that? How can we help people? How can we not be roadkill in that journey? Interesting, delicate, and yet powerful subject. I'm going to jump into that in a moment. Let me do a few quick housekeeping things for 30 seconds as usual. Big thanks to all the new subscribers to our YouTube channel. We just hit 370,000 subscribers today, and we believe in God for 1 million by the end of this year. So subscribe if you haven't done that. Secondly, a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry. You know who you are. God knows who you are. And thank you for your faithfulness and you sharing the fruit of the ministry that we do here. You can become a partner on my website if you're interested in that. Thirdly, sign up for our email newsletter. Should be one going out today. And lastly, I have a new online Zoom mentoring class I'm doing now once a month, completely free. Last Wednesday of every month. You can sign up on my website or my church sites if you're interested in joining us live on Zoom for a Q&A and some teaching connected with that. Boom. Good. So question number one, why do people walk away from God? Forgive me. It's my cantankerous British nature, but I want to say because they're dumb, but we're all dumb at times. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Now that's true of everybody on planet Earth, but it's equally true even at times of us as believers. When we become a believer, our body doesn't change and our soul doesn't change. I know that's a shock, horror, news flash for a lot of people, but it's actually true. It's our spirit that's made new. And yeah, we are all still dumb. So great, how dare you say that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're new creations in Christ, spiritually speaking, when we become born again. But we need to learn to think new. What will often happen for many, many reasons, why do people walk away from God? You know, they get distracted. It really is true. Often we just watch too much TV, spend too much time with the wrong people. A really big one, unless this offends some people, but it's absolutely true. People stop going to church. I think going to church is the main thing. It's not the only thing, but the main thing that will keep somebody on track in their Christian life. People stop reading the Bible, stop living the life. It would be like saying somebody got married, but they stopped living married. They stopped seeing their wife or husband, stopped spending time, stopped enjoying time, stopped fellowshipping together. And then they pull out a certificate going, I'm married. Well, big deal. Are you living married? Are you thriving? Are you enjoying that? So why do people walk away from God? Frankly, Satan is constantly trying to lead people away from God. The world in which we live is like a river going down a certain direction. It's going in, it's trying to do its thing. And if you get near it, you tend to get sucked along. He who walks with the wise will be wise. He, the companion of fools, will be destroyed, the Bible says. So, and lastly, there's a Satan, the world, and our flesh, the world, the flesh, the devil, our flesh will lead us away from God. So there's many reasons we can walk away from God, but we can circumvent all of those and learn to stay close to Him. Boom. Question number two, is it only God's grace that keeps us? You know, this is a really delicate one. Maybe it shouldn't be, but I've never thought even too much about this, but it's true that often when we see somebody fall into sin, you'll see somebody say, there but for the grace of God go I. Or you'll see maybe, you know, I was recently interacting with some people about a famous minister who, you know, it was found out he's had multiple adulterous affairs. I don't even want to say the word. And somebody made the comment, yeah, well, if we haven't done that, it's only by the grace of God. And it's the question, do we agree with that or do we not agree with that? I want to say, I agree with that 100%, but not in the way you may think. So if I haven't fallen, if I haven't walked away from God, and I haven't, if I haven't betrayed Jesus and given him up, yeah, it's God's grace that's done that. But that's not the complete story. That's a truth, but it's not the entire story. Because the Bible puts it this way. The Bible says the grace of God that leads us to salvation has appeared to every man. Now, is every man saved? No. So God's grace to save us has appeared to all of humanity. Some people received it, some reject it. God's grace to keep us, God's grace to stay within his keeping power has appeared to every one of his children. Some receive it. Paul says, don't let God's grace be in vain in your life. So I think, yes, it's God's grace that keeps us. We don't keep ourselves. It's his keeping power that keeps us. But it's like we need to keep ourselves. No, I don't want to use that phrase. We need to stay and rest in his keeping power. It's like God saying, stay here in my house. It's warm. It's wonderful. It's protected. I'll provide everything. The wolves can't get in. You're safe here with me. But if you get up and walk out of that house, you're not protected. And you don't need to fight and work to keep yourself in that house. If somebody in that house said, I am keeping myself, we'd go, no, the master of the house built this house. The house is keeping you. But we wouldn't then, if you walked away, we would then say, yeah, you're choosing to deprive yourself of that protection. So I believe it's God's grace that keeps us, amen. But that many people choose to deprive themselves of the grace of God that is his keeping power. I hope that makes sense to you. Question number three is a good question here. How can we help people come back to faith in God? Yeah. Again, let me say this. Everybody's different. The Bible talks about those, when you see a brother falling into sin, go to him, that you may restore him, but don't allow yourself to be tempted and drawn away in the way that person has. Now, how can we help somebody come back? Let me give you a few quick keys to do that. Number one, love them. I mean, love them. Don't simply go to somebody with preaching a sermon. Most people who've walked away from God know they've walked away from God. Most people who've walked away from God are actually pretty miserable, and they kind of know it's not the great thing, and they feel guilt and shame. They're like the prodigal son sitting in the pigsty. And it wouldn't have helped if the elder brother would have, you know, bought a bus ticket and gone to visit his brother in pigsty and stood over him with his fine clothes going, what a disappointment you are to our father. What a mess you are. Yuck, 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 yuck. Who's that helping in any way, shape or form? So I don't think that we help people when we do that. I think we go to people and we love them. We live full of the love of God and we love them. Number two, I think we should actually be living full and living overflowing with the Lord. That way, when people who are backslidden get around us, they will taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to tell and see. The Bible says taste and see. So we should be walking in those things. Number three, I would try to do this. So often people have been hurt and walk away from God. There are people who've been genuinely hurt, maybe hurt in church and walked away from God. There are many people, though, who think they've been hurt, who think God's hurt them, God's let them down, who think they were owed something that they didn't get. And so often you're not even dealing with a reality, you're dealing with the truth. Of course, there's only one truth, but if people believe something is true, that becomes the truth to them. So I would say to that person, you don't want to kind of engage and try to fight and argue out some version of what they think happened, what should have happened, what shouldn't have happened. You want to invite them back to Jesus. You want to simply come. The way we bring somebody back to Jesus is the way we lead somebody to Jesus in the first place, by saying, God loves you. You're his child. You're precious to him. He loves to you. Come to me. And the love of God will draw people. The Holy Spirit will draw people, not our clever arguments. Hey, one last key that's really helped me as well is that we can use our faith. We can use the principles of Mark 11, 23 and 4. Let me give an example. Imagine I saw somebody today, used to walk with God, didn't. I would go and I'd love them and I'd listen to them and I'd share the gospel afresh with them, call them to Christ. But then here's what I would do. I would believe I had, past tense, past accomplished, believe you have received the good of that conversation. I would go away from that conversation with my faith activated, saying, God's word's working. They're coming back to Jesus. In fact, my faith would say they're already back at Jesus. It's a done deal. God has drawn them. I wouldn't base what I believe on what I saw. I wouldn't go away saying, well, I didn't see repentance. I didn't see a reaction. I didn't see change. I would believe it had been accomplished simply because God's word says so. So use your faith in that is a really powerful way to do that. Okay, question number four. And this is probably a longer one in a way. Somebody's asked me about deconstruction. A word we're seeing bandied around a lot in the last year or two. Is it okay to deconstruct our Christianity? Just for those who aren't familiar with that, what do we mean by deconstruction? Actually comes from a French philosopher. A French Algerian philosopher started that term. You'll see a lot of, especially younger people today, talking about deconstructing. And what they're talking about is saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to take apart, I'm going to dismantle Christianity so that I actually see what's real. I don't need church, I don't need Bible, I don't need Jesus, I don't need this, I don't need that. And the bottom line is I would say no. Now I understand the desire to challenge religiosity, to challenge things that we've added to Christianity over the years. I've spent my life doing that, and I think that's a good and worthwhile endeavor. But no, I don't believe that we should deconstruct Christianity. You know, the Bible says if we remove the foundations, what hope is there for us? And it is okay to challenge, you know, should a church, you know, paint the walls? Do you meet in a building? Do you meet in a home? Great. Do you meet on Saturday? Do you meet on Sunday? I don't really care that much. Should you have an electric guitar or a church organ? You know, do whatever rings your bell, baby doll. There are unimportant things that we can debate in Christianity. But once we start challenging the veracity of God's word, the exclusivity of Jesus, our need of a savior, some base truths, I tell you, our whole faith will fall apart. And I've noticed that I've met many people who begin to say, I'm still a Christian, I'm still in church, I'm still walking with God, but I'm just deconstructing, I'm challenging my Christianity. They're the people I meet 4 or 5 years later who completely walked away from God. There's no sense whatsoever of reality in what they are doing. So I would say no, you don't deconstruct Christianity. Boom. Hey, my last question today, and it's a long one to answer, but I'll try and do this really quickly. Somebody's asked me the question, once saved, always saved. If we are truly saved, can we walk away from God? I have a longer video on my site about this. I think the problem with this question is actually, what do we mean by saved? I think when the Bible talks about being saved, there's a lot of emphasis on the word being. So saved isn't something you get and acquire and then you've got it and you put it in your pocket or in your attic and now you've got it. Say, saved is an ongoing thing. Saved is like married. Now you get married, but then you live married. It's this ongoing thing. And I think, here's my thing. I don't want to lose my salvation. I'm not interested in losing my salvation. I would say to everybody, cling to Jesus, walk to Jesus, walk in repentance, and you are absolutely safe in Him. Now, we can always look at some case of somebody and go, were they ever really saved in the first place? I don't know. I don't want to judge anybody. The Bible says the Lord knows who are His. So I think if somebody is truly saved, then they are saved. But if they are saved, they're going to bring forth the fruits of saveness, salvation, in their life. And if for an extended period of time I see no fruits whatsoever of salvation in somebody's life, I'm going to question if they were ever saved in the first place. So there's actually really not a contradiction between both those points of view. Everybody would agree we get saved, we're supposed to live saved, and we continue walking in the path of salvation. I hope that helps. You're looking at me in a confused way. Boom. Guys, I'll be back next week. I believe I have a series out on breaking the power of the fear of man. A really good theme there. Wishing you well wherever you're at today in Jesus' name. Hit that subscribe button down there, and I will see you soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.